during the first morning that we were here in Jagannathpuri, we heard about, and now we're seeing, Markandeya Sarovar. And when we leave, we're going to see Markandeshwara Mahadev down and up. This is a murti of Lord Shiva, where Markandeya Rishi performed his worship of Lord Shiva after Lord Shiva came here to bestow his benedictions upon him. As you can see, very, very ancient place, a very ancient city, actually an eternal abode of the Lord.
Because this is a very peaceful place, and some places are much more noisy and congested, and these are the kind of peaceful. So, I'd like to speak a little bit about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life here in Jagannathpuri. We visited his home, which is the birthplace of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So just the contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu I'd like to address this evening, but specifically Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life here in Jagannathpuri.
Just to get some time frame, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born in West Bengal in the year 1838 in the month of September. And it wasn't until his 30th year, that's 1868, that he received Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now there's some devotees in the audience here who may have been around that age, 30 years of age, before receiving Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not so many of us are going to have such an illustrious life as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, following that introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. But at least the opportunity, through the use of technology, that is, through printing presses, now the access to Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita is readily available by the innovative work of Bhaktivinoda Thakur through printing of the transcendental knowledge by use of offset presses. Then his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then his disciple, Srila Prabhupada. And now it's our turn to take this knowledge. This is what we'll speak about primarily this evening, but to take the same knowledge and make it readily and widely available to people in general. Being such a elevated, respected personality, before, just the year before Bhaktivinoda Thakur came here to Puri, 2 years before, one friend of his informed him, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was searching for a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he couldn't find one. Finally, one friend of his offered his copy and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in his autobiography, so mind you, this is 2 years before Bhaktivinoda came here. It was his 30th year of his life. He describes, he read Srimad Bhagavatam with great delight. And after reading Srimad Bhagavatam, he became so surcharged that he read it again And after reading it again, he was very enthusiastic to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. And reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was so moved, he read it again. And after these readings, very quickly, transcendental inspiration came into his life. And he began writing, because he was a literary gifted person, he showed his movement of his heart in that way. He began writing poems in glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following what he had heard or read in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then, in 1868, he prepared a speech, which later became a book, about the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavat, its philosophy, its ethics, and its theology. That book is now available. One can read it. And just to appreciate the style of Bhaktivinod Thakur and the very challenging audience that he had, there were two groups that he was addressing. He was addressing the Smartha Brahmins, and he was addressing the Hindus. The Smartha Brahmins and the Hindus that were influenced by Western rational thought, the intellectuals of the time. So his main messages were three. To the rational influenced Brahmanas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's very gentle message, but strong. This was his style. Humble persuasion. Very reasonable. Very gentle. But very strong. Humble persuasion. That by the process of rational thought, man can never reach the realm of the absolute. And for the Hindus, his second audience, because it was a speech that he gave between two groups that were differing with one another historically. To the Hindus, he expressed that by ritualistic ceremonies, which may bring elevation and piety, likewise can never reach the realm of the absolute. He gave various examples. And the third message was that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost and the essence of all the knowledge of the Vedas. And he had to deal with the rational thought of the Western-minded individuals who thought in the Bhagavatam we find so many magical things, mystical things, imagined things, mythology. So he addressed that mindset of thinking of the Bhagavatam as part of mythology. But he did it through very careful, sensitive persuasation. And compared this great Srimad Bhagavatam to that literature which we find examples in the West, which his audience was very familiar with, that is actually the essence from which so many other epic literatures and great literatures that the modern writers of today base their writings upon. Very logical, very thoughtful, very reasonable. And then he addressed the Brahmos about their rejection of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Brahmos means the Brahmanas influenced by rational thought. Modernity is the historical term. Those that embraced Brahmins who are in touch with the pulse of the time. It was called an era of modernity. So the modernity group from the caste-born Brahmanas. that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should not be dismissed as their leader amongst them was doing, and very carefully, very thoughtfully presented from what he understood from Chaitanya Charitamrita, the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very thoughtful, reasoned, gentle, persuasive manner. Very, very beautiful. If we have some time this evening, perhaps I'll read some sections from that. Very, very nice. This is just the first year that he received Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's addressing intellectuals of his time. He had such faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam that in his position as a judge, high court judge, before he became a high court judge here in Puri, in the place where he was stationed, listen carefully, very interesting. There was a Brahma Daitya, a Brahmana ghost, that was inhabiting a banyan tree. And some robbers, ghost worshippers, were worshipping and propitiating the ghost, then going doing their stealing. When they would be caught, they would be brought before the judge, and by the propitiations to the ghost, the ghost influenced the judges to give them rulings in their favor. And the British government knew about this. So they gave the assignment to Bhaktivinoda Thakur to carefully investigate. And it was very dangerous because the robbers were also murderers. So consider the transcendental strategy that Bhaktivinoda Thakur employed. There was one pundit, the son of a very learned woman in the area, and the pundit came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur for some alms. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said to the pundit, "Very happily, I will maintain you, but I want some seva from you. Sit under the banyan tree and aloud recite Srimad Bhagavatam from beginning to end." The very day that he completed Srimad Bhagavatam, the banyan tree fell over and the Brahma Daitya left. And the robbers were very much afraid. Now their Brahma Daitya ghost was not going to give judgments in their favor or cause judgments in their favor. And so they left. The problem was solved without some intense confrontation. Very similar transcendental preaching strategy Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his son, deployed. Listen. One time, Bhaktisiddhanta was riding by train from Calcutta to Puri with a number of his disciples in the train. In the same train, the same car, was a Mayavadi sannyasi. Big Mayavadi sannyasi. And he had many followers, and he was speaking very loudly. "It is all one." And many people were gathered around, one can imagine the scene. Very calmly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who had personally taken a vow that he would never take mango in his life, his whole party was given a case of mangoes. So he was allowing his members of his party to take the Krishna Prasad of mangoes, ripe mangoes. There's two kinds of mangoes, green mango and ripe mango, or pakka mango. So it took us, like an overnight train, the trains were much slower, it took a couple of days. So towards the end of the journey, the mangoes were becoming very ripe. Too ripe, some of them. So he told his disciples, find amongst the box of mangoes one that is overripe, most ripe, even gushy, and take that mango to this Mayavat sannyasi and tell them that our Guru Maharaj would like to offer you this prasad and see what is his response. And when he found the kacha mango instead of the pukka mango, he was caught. It's all one. Ripe mango, overripe mango, it's one. Our Guru Maharaj would like you to have this. And by the influence of the external energy, the Mayavad sannyasi became unable to speak. He didn't accept the mango, he didn't refuse the mango. And everyone immediately understood. And they all began to laugh. Just by that one act, he defeated. Without saying a word. It's all one. If it's all one, the green mango, ripe mango, overripe mango, it's all one. So shortly after this Brahma Daitya incident, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, two things. He has now, on his journey by his Leela, his journey at the age of 30, 31, the beginning of his Vaishnava days, with the spirit of preaching Krishna consciousness and having growing and growing and growing faith in Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He then received notice that he was receiving an offer for transfer to Jagannath Puri. And he was very happy to take the transfer offer. And in his autobiography, that autobiography again was a letter that he had written about himself to his son, Lalit Prasad. The whole text is available. And his biographers most certainly refer to that quite authoritative text describing his own life. When he came here to Jagannath Puri, just like we're visiting for some few number of days. But as he stayed here, day by day by day, his joy increased daily. And he described the joy that he found just coming before Lord Jagannath and taking Lord Jagannath's darshan and remembering the transcendental inspiration that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had when he first came here to Jagannath Puri and had darshan of Lord Jagannath. We read the day that we visited Haridas Thakur's Samadhi, the poem that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote about the passing of Haridas Thakur. He reasons ill, who says that Vaishnavas die, that poem. And similarly, this was a very productive time for writing because he was a literary person and he received great devotional inspiration. He wrote another poem which was published, a poem specifically speaking about the futility of pursuing material enjoyments and sense gratification. Similar, very eloquent, very, very beautiful poem. And in his writings, it shows some deep analysis of the shortcomings of Hinduism, but the essence of what that Hindu teaching is, that is, to come to the stage of love of God. And his 30 years of experience growing up amongst intellectuals who are very much influenced by Western thinking, and therefore naturally Christianity, so he was well versed in that line of thinking from an intellectual level and then began making his comparisons of the similarities and the distinctions between the essence of Bhagavat teaching and what Christianity teaches. Very refined, very deep thinking, reflecting and showing that reflecting in his writings. One of the choice pieces of literature was to love God. Showing how the various religions of the world, this is what the essence is, to come to the stage of loving God. And what is loving God? What is it? What is it that is coveted? It's not the rituals or the externals. It's the essence. He was describing this in his essays. Then a very challenging circumstance came. We described this at Bhakti Kuti briefly. The incident of encountering Bhishika Sen. So I'll briefly narrate that again because it's very exciting and very important. In it, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it shows Bhaktivinoda Thakur's fearlessness. Just on moral grounds, he was very, very determined to uphold standards of virtue. And he did so in a very respectable, he was a powerful person, but he was never abusive of his power and authority. He was gentle, but strong, and fearless, and an emblem of virtue. And deep convictions in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the teaching of pure devotion was very strong. But even during his time, just like we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that some of the sons of Advaita Acharya are not even spoken about. Sons of Advaita Acharya. Because they deviated. Their deviation was, they said that Advaita Acharya is the personality of Godhead and Mahaprabhu is his devotee. And because we're the sons of the personality of Godhead by birth, we're the right ones, the virtuous ones, the ones to be followed. The Nityananda Vamsa group similarly did like that. Anyway, even during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, there were such deviations. So one of those deviators was an individual of all names named Jagannath Das here in Puri, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him to take Haridas Thakur's association, but he could not bear to be in the presence of that purity, so he went away, and he became the founder acharya of a deviated sampradaya, an upa sampradaya. And that upa sampradaya was the Ati Bhari group. So his descendants included this Bhishika Sen. Their program was they rewrote different things and kept, you know, like secret doctrines. And one of those secret doctrines was that Lord Chaitanya would come again, kind of like piggybacking with Christianity, that Christ will come again, so Lord Chaitanya will come again. And the sentiment, you know, people like that sentiment. And so then there were different personalities who were Krishna, Lord Chaitanya come again. There was Krishna sometimes Krishna Balaram. And during Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, it was Mahavishnu. His name was Bhishika Sen, and he was advertising that I am Mahavishnu. And his program was he had his two guna avatars, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, and they were promoting Lord Vishnu. And they would go about in various places intimidating kings and wealthy people. You better give your offerings to Lord Vishnu or you're in big trouble. And people foolishly gave some offerings to Lord Vishnu, Bhishika Sen, out of fear that there may be some difficulty. And he was this, he had powers, some puny material powers, like he would sit erect just before a fire, and his long beard and matted hair would, as he would lean over into the fire and stay there for some time, nothing would happen. He would sit up, unburned. Haribo! And he had the capacity to read people's minds. And he had the capacity to instantly cure people who had lifelong diseases. And he could make fire come from his hair. He would just shake his head. Fire would come from his hair. Cool, huh? He must be God. He says so. He has mystic powers, and he said that the day will come when I will show my forearm Vishnu form, and I will destroy all the British and drive them out of India. Haribo. Krishna, come again as Vishakashain to defeat the Kauravas in the form of the British. And people believed him. One day, he sent Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to go inform everybody he's going to perform his Leela of Rasa Dance. Big festival. He had thousands of followers. People were really moved. Wow, this guy's got something. So many, many people came. Prominent, wealthy families from Bhubaneswar and Puri, even as far as Cuttack, came to watch the Rasa Dance. And at the end of the Rasa Dance, he polluted many of the women. And that was too much. They went to the British people, went to the British government. You got to stop this fellow. And it was very delicate because he was very powerful and people had sentiments for him. So the police were afraid. They were afraid that something might happen to their family. This powerful person, who knows what he'll do? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur personally, his camp was somewhere between here and Bhubaneswar, and he got on bullock cart with the constables, hundreds of them, and went right to the Vishakashain's camp. And Vishakashain knew that he got word that he was coming. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur stood right in front of Vishakashain. So Vishakashain was showing his clairvoyant mystic power, saying so many things about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his life, his upbringing, where he lived, what he did, so many details that were right on. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not impressed or moved because he had clear understanding. The real issue here is not whether this fellow has some mystic powers. He had spiritual issue. He's posing himself, a jiva, posing himself to be Vishnu. Rascal. So Vishakashain said, I know why it is that you have come. You've come to arrest me. I want to know the grounds for my being arrested. How can you arrest Vishnu? I've declared it boldly. I will show my forearm form and destroy all the British and drive them out of India. And who are you? One fellow in the British government. You'll be destroyed too. You wait and see. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur decided to take a gentle course. He didn't immediately call his soldiers to arrest him. He went around and began doing some investigation and asking different people. And when he got the detailed reports, he then said, he came back and a few days later and said, you're under arrest. I want my soldiers to bring you under arrest on this bullock cart. You cannot arrest me. And he shook his head. Fire came. Fire even came out of his eyes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't blink, didn't flinch. Arrest this man. So hundreds of persons surrounded him, the soldiers. Fearless because of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's fearlessness otherwise. You do this and you will be destroyed. I'm telling you, you and your whole family will be destroyed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's response is, Jagannath is the protector of his devotee. Then Bhishikushane said, because you are Jagannath's devotee, I will then perform the Leela of showing affection for my devotee. And I'll allow this Leela to take place where you can arrest me and take me back to Puri as he was being bound up by the soldiers. So he was brought to Puri and put in jail, and he began fasting. And he has thousands of followers. And the followers, you know, those of you from India, you know what it meant. Big scene. Ra 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 ra, and the other side, ra 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 ra, and ra ra ra, and ra ra ra. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was undeviating. There were pre-trial events. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's autobiography described that disasters were happening left and right. Fire in the schoolhouse. And this bizarre series of events. Bhishikashane's a powerful dude. Powerful guy. It's for real. He's a powerful guy, but he's not Vishnu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur preached to him for this offense of taking the position falsely of Vishnu. You will be destroyed. Then he made life threats on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Said, you will see in 3 days, your daughter will die. And sure enough, within 3 days, the daughter, one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's daughters, contracted some kind of very, very severe fever. And the fever was rising and the doctors could do nothing. And Bhagavati Devi was pleading with him, please release this prisoner. What's the use? Losing members of our family because of this rascal. I forget exactly. Some transcendental cure like feeding his daughter a tulsi leaf and some charanamrita from Jagannath, something like that. And by the morning, the fever was gone and she was running around playing again. Then Bhishikushane cursed Bhaktivinoda. You will die. So it was an 18-day trial with antics like the Saddam Hussein trial, probably like that. Bhishikushane throwing tantrums. And towards the end of the trial, Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself became violently feverish. On the final day, he didn't know if he could even make it to the courtroom. But he went. And with feverish hand, he was writing the decision. And the decision that was concluded was that Bhishikushane was a conspirator against the British government, and he should be put in jail for some number of years. And as he was being dragged out of the courtroom, his followers were screaming and yelling, and big scene. And one member of the British government that had some study about these things, he knew that yogis kept their power in their hair, so he came out with big scissors right in the courtroom and cut his hair. And Bhishikushane fell to the ground. And within a short time, he died. Very risky business, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was doing, but he was fixed in fearlessness. It was not only his government duty, it was a religious duty to protect innocent people from being misled by such a rascal teaching and a rascal person. He then wrote an essay, a little, like in that, not an essay, a little document describing this Atibari community. There was another person who, I think he was Balaram. And another British judge had to deal with him in some similar, you know, big scene with his followers, and he was put in prison. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in this essay, he describes the particular type of deviation. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a book that described the 13 different divisions of deviations from Lord Chaitanya's teachings and some subdivisions of those 13. He's very learned in the matter. Because he knew what purity was, so therefore when you know what purity is, you know what deviation is. Because of these two incidents, protection went to the Vaishnav community. The other Atibari groups here and there and here and there, they kind of like, whoa, this is going to be a tough time if we keep doing our thing. And so they just kind of disappeared, subsided and went away. By the strength of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's faith in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pure teachings and his protection to his devotees. Another very prominent part of, and very important part of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life here in Puri is that there were qualified Vaishnavas not only to read the literature but to learn Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the writings of Narottam Das Thakur, the Sat Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, the Prameya Ratnavali of Madhvacharya, and so on. He studied. And with that study came, guess, great inspiration. And with that great inspiration, because he's a literary giant, prolific literatures of different styles, essays, poems, writing on specific topics, writing and writing and writing, just like his son. So prolific. Powerful, powerful, powerful personality. There was one, towards the end of his life, there was one British officer that Bhaktivinoda Thakur ran across his path, and this is final stages of his life. He was passing by one government building, and the government officer invited Bhaktivinoda Thakur to come to his room, his office. So he went to his office, just, you know, a social exchange. And the man confessed, Sir William Henry Hendley or something like that. He said, you know, I had a desire to murder you because I could understand if we have more Indian persons of the competency of your level, the British are finished. So I actually was contemplating having you put to death, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a short period of time, in just a few hours in the courtroom, he would consume enough as the lawyering and stuff was going on, he was writing the decision. Next. He had that acumen, he had that empowerment to understand the conclusion right away. And so, very, very much respected by those that wanted good service, but very much feared by those that were envious. Powerful, powerful, powerful Vaishnav. One time when he was in Bhakti Kuti, he was sitting performing his Srimad Bhagavatam class, and as he was giving the Srimad Bhagavatam class, the king of Puri, along with a number of persons, came bursting in, just like, you know, the Bhagavatam class wasn't even happening. Chitter chatter, noisy, you know, being like a king. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur spoke with him and said, you may be king, and you're, because you're king, you're deserving of all respect. from everyone. But although you're the king, this is Srimad Bhagavatam. And even the king, Prataparudra Maharaj onwards, should show respect to the Srimad Bhagavatam. The king offered his obeisances to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his profuse apologies. Hare Krishna. He's okay. He's okay. He's a nice man. The very same king, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, caught in a... What's the right word? Misappropriation of Jagannath's funds. Somehow some of the funds got into the king's hand. And he misappropriated them. It came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's attention as the magistrate. And so he brought charges against the king. And he found him guilty. And the fine for the king, this part is, we've heard, one of the first things that Bhaktivinoda Thakur did was he reestablished the 54, 56, whatever it is, offerings a day. That was the penance of the king, to use his own money to reestablish the so many offerings a day to Lord Jagannath. Brilliant. He didn't have to do it. He had the king do it. So the king became very envious. And he also planned to eliminate Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But because of the prominence and respectability of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he didn't want to just like hire a gunda. So he arranged a tantric brahmana festival, whereby tantric mantras, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would die. And it was supposed to be really secret, but you know how those things go. The word leaked out and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was warned. Your life is in danger. The king is after your life. Fearless. Bhaktivinoda Thakur simply chanted his prayers to Lord Jagannath and Lord Nrisimhadev and understood he would surely be protected. And sure enough, the son of the king died. Because the nature of tantric arts is if the person who is the object to be harmed is given protection by some higher power, that harm comes back to the person who released that tantric curse or thing. His son died. Just like the whole story of Kashiraj and Pondraka, they're being killed, and Sudakshina undergoing this tantric brahmana program and creating the fiery demon. The fiery demon came back and destroyed Kashi and destroyed Sudakshina. Same thing happened right here in Puri. The king's son died, and he understood his wrong. So he came to offer his apology to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and beg his forgiveness because it was a very serious offense. The magnanimous Bhaktivinoda Thakur readily forgave the king. One more incident like this and we'll finish, because we're going next to the Jagannath Ballabh Garden to have some katha. So in the Jagannath Ballabh Garden, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in the practice of holding discourse on Srimad Bhagavatam. Beautiful place for having discourse on Srimad Bhagavatam. Beautiful gardens. And very auspicious place. We'll hear the nature of that place. And his reputation was spreading. And so one very prominent Babaji came, and just seeing Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he left and began speaking ill of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. As he was speaking ill of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in just a few days he came down with a very severe fever and the doctors pronounced they have no cure for this fever, and he would surely die. One night that Babaji had a dream, Lord Jagannath appeared in his dream. This is only 100 years ago. Jagannath appeared in his dream and said, if you want to not die a violent life, you go to Bhaktivinod Thakur and pay your respects and beg for forgiveness for your offense, for speaking ill of a Vaishnava, a pure Vaishnava, my pure devotee. When he awoke from the dream, he somehow, although terribly feverish, he went to Bhaktivinod Thakur and expressed his objection was that Thakur Bhaktivinod was not wearing Kunti Mala and Tilak as his Vaishnava practice, but he was speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam, so how can he be a devotee, so how can he be speak from Bhagavatam? We should not go to hear from him. That was his program. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur's reply is, my dear Babaji, please consider carefully. Krishna has not yet sent my Guru Maharaj. And until that time comes, Prabhupada didn't teach us in this way, but this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. How can I? You think I should, before that time comes, just decorate myself in this way and be pretender? The Babaji could understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur's purity and his sincerity and his dearness to Jagannath. And he pleaded again for forgiveness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, that's not possible. You are Babaji Maharaj. You are my superior and I would like to learn from you. Vaishnava. So they, in course of time, became very, very close friends. Bhaktivinoda Thakur cured his illness with appropriate medicines. And the Babaji Maharaj came to hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaking Srimad Bhagavatam in Jagannath Ballabh Gardens. Just as Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and even Jagannath Das Babaji came to hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Because of his deep realization and pure devotion. Very recent in our time, such a powerful, powerful acharya, and this evening we'll speak more about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's contribution to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll now go to Jagannath Ballabh Gardens. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.